This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director, Alicia Graf Mack. Plus, five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. It is Friday, the last day of our week-long tribute to house music on The Rundown podcast. And as usual on Fridays, I'm here with Nudia Hernandez, host of Nudia in the Afternoon on our sister station, Vocalo. Hey, Nudia.
Hello.
So this week, we're going to talk about your conversation with the DJ Collective, the Good Girls DJs. What is a DJ Collective? Like, break this down for me. What does that consist of?
So I think it could mean a couple of different things.
Okay.
But really, in the Good Girls sense, they really are kind of like a group. You could think of like the Spice Girls or something, you know? Like
Destiny's Child. Okay, got you.
Yeah, like they really are a unit. So it's Lori Branch, VD Girl, Lady D. They each separately have their own gigs, but they do a lot of stuff together too. So I think that's where like the collective part comes in.
Have you ever been in a DJ collective?
No. I've been a part of agent. I mean, it was really cool back in Vegas. All of us like female DJs, we would have meetups and we were on a big group chat and it was really sick. We would give each other jobs and like that we passed up on and things like that. So I do think it is really important, especially for female DJs, because I noticed in Chicago, it's so much harder to like meet everyone, mm-hmm. you know, unless you really go out of your way, you might not run into these, you know, ladies otherwise. So yeah. It helps a lot, honestly.
One of the other people in this collective is DJ Lady D. She was one of the very first voices we ever heard on Vocalo.
Yeah, that's great. Which I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
She was like the OG OG.
It's yes.
Like, the OG Avengers is what she was a part of.
Yeah, she was a founding DJ, so to speak. When I realized that, it made me really understand that you, as a current personality on Vocalo, you're a part of like the Vocalo legacy. And I wonder how it was for you talking to one of the DJs who was here at the very beginning of the station.
It was cool. I mean, especially because I didn't know a lot of things that she mentioned in the interview.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that Vocalo was, you know, it started off as only talk,
mm-hmm.
right? So very much like, you know, her show was all interviews and segments and stuff. So it's really cool. I mean, that must have been really difficult to do without music, you know?
As talk, talk, talk. That's what we do on NPR. And we somehow we make it work. Well, let's hear this conversation. This is Nudia's interview with Lori Branch, VD Girl, and DJ Lady D, all members of the Good Girls DJ Collective.
Lady D talked to me and Hannah about being a part of a festival that she wanted to put on for just women called Good Girl DJs. And the meaning that not just good for a girl, because that's what a lot of male DJs say about female DJs, not only in the house community, but any DJ community.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's really good for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Which is insulting, but sometimes they think it's flattering. I've heard it
somehow.
Used. Somehow they think that's flattering.
So that's when you have to do the fake laugh, right?
Yeah. thank you, I think. I think, Lady D, you should take the story from here.
Well, I wanted to have a festival called Good Girls Fest for women and women identifying and gender nonconforming or gender fluid or, you know, festival that really highlighted women in music in all aspects, right? Not just performance, but, you know, all the way down to security. Like that was the vision that I was having. I would say like around 2017, 2018, 2019, I would be playing out and I was still getting people that would come up to me and be like, I've never seen a girl DJ. This is so cool. Da, da, da. And I was like, oh my God, we've come full circle. We've come to that point again where people just think that this is so new. So the idea about the festival grew and then reaching out to these two, I was like, we could be the good girls. And they kind of like, yeah. So the festival didn't happen, but a new collective of visibility and representation for women in electronic music formed out of that. So would you add to that?
Yeah. I mean, Definitely shout out to public radio and radio stations. How about because it?
I got the claps. I got the claps going in the background.
I was doing my master's at Northwestern in the sound arts and industries program and had a radio show. At that time, I didn't have opportunity to play on CDJs much, and there was CDJs in the radio station. And so I decided that even if I wasn't great at it, I was going to make sure I took advantage of it and use those CDJs. And Lori's show, Vintage House, was right after my show. So she would come in there with these amazing guests who are pioneers and legends in different, you know, areas of house music throughout Chicago and beyond. Mm-hmm. And I would just be banging the house music, playing. And I feel like she and these other folks kind of were curious, and a friendship and mentorship kind of grew naturally from that. There was an organicness, and there was also just a genuine, like, a good friendship, good, like, mm-hmm. we trying to exemplify, I think, what we try to do as artists. Maybe the festival didn't happen yet, but I think we embody that in how we work with each other and how we work with other women and DJs. And yeah, that's kind of our origin story.
Yeah.
I love that. And in a city like Chicago, it could be so hard to connect with other female DJs because there are like far and few and in between mm-hmm. in comparison to the male DJs. Mm-hmm. Right, and then you still get looked at like you're
curiosity
on display at the zoo, right? It's like look at that, yeah. And it's just like, oh my gosh, yeah, like crazy. let's calm down. So when you created this collective, mm-hmm. was the goal to do gigs together? Was the goal to like maybe produce something together, like, or was it just to like vibe?
Oh, good question. I think initially it was about, you know, doing gigs, and we quickly saw like there's a lot that could evolve from this mm-hmm. because of what Hannah said about our friendship, that there's a natural kind of evolution, you know, to what the possibilities were. And I think we also represented something that's semi, cross-generational, you know, because I come from beginning early days when we were just like discovering a mixer, like, you know, disco and punk music that turned into the house movement. And Lady D is kind of like generation two after that. And then, you know, Hannah's relatively new to the field. So we saw ourselves also representing, mm-hmm. you know, just a sense of representation that wasn't out there in any collective where you have people sort of across the spectrum that way. So I think lots could come. I mean, somebody's building a studio in their own place, so we're waiting. Lady D is already a recognized producer, so, you
it's
know,
coming.
There's a lot happening.
I love that. And so I do, now, VD Girl, I know when you're first getting started, it's like, you know, it could be rough, right? We got the shoes in the dryer, like things that happen. Like it's a minute till you get it, you know? It's a minute till you get it, right? You're counting all the time. You look a little crazy. Uh-huh. So for you, was it, you know, seeing such great DJs? Because you live in, like, one of the biggest hotspots for DJs where, like, literally everyone is good. You know, not all cities are like that. Sometimes you could go out and you could see, you know, some people make you mess ups. But, like, in Chicago, mm-hmm. did that ever deter you or did it ever bring you down? You're like, I need to be at this caliber, like...
I think there was times that I've put like pressure on myself, but I think in some ways it's also been warranted. I've tried to look at it more as like reverence and legacy. It's mm-hmm. like, what am I bringing to this conversation? How seriously am I taking this craft? Like, if I'm going to get up there and play something mm-hmm. In a city and in a black art form that is so, you know, important to our culture, how am I honoring that? How do I know the music? Do I know who this came from? Am I supporting local DJs mm-hmm. Now that I am a little more skilled, how am I passing that on to other folks? So there was definitely moments I feel like I was practicing in my bedroom for about 2 years almost until I finally was like, someone was like, you just got to do it, girl. It's time. Because I can be a bit of a perfectionist. But, you know, that's part of being in the mix. It's not always going to be perfect. But do you give up or do you figure out how to get those shoes like drying together? I don't know. Right. You have to pivot. But definitely being influenced by so much great talent. And also a lot of people put time into me. I did different workshops. Shout out to Walking and Falling, another all-woman trans led, you know, lesson cohort. They did lessons at Smart Bar. I've been mentored by other DJs, Scratch Academy back in the day. So I really was a sponge.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So you were a bedroom DJ for 2 years.
Well, I mean, about maybe a year and a half. I wasn't ready to put it out.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, Lori, Lady D, how did you guys learn? You know, were you just around it or?
Yeah, I wish I had a year and a half in my bedroom, but I did. I had so much pressure. I think I had like 3 weeks before my first party. And I was in a social club like in 1980, and we had DJs. We actually hired the Chosen Few to play our parties. And this was like, you know, South Loop, whatever, warehouse days, you know, whatever. And my guys who I was in the club with said, we think you need to DJ. You collect a lot of music. You seem to like it a lot. Would you just learn how to do it? And they bought equipment for me and put it in my bedroom. And they were like, we have a party in 3 weeks. You got to be ready. And it's a battle.
It's like boot camp.
It's a battle.
So your first party is a battle. Farley Keith will be there. Steve Hurley, Rare Sounds of Space. It was like all the popular DJs at the time. And, you know, I was like, a battle? What? I don't even know how to blend two songs. But I had a good friend. His name is Louis Gomez. He's a great DJ and producer. And he tutored me. He sat there and he was like, this is how you do it. And then we would practice, me, him, Craig Loftus, and my buddy Jean-Pierre Campbell. And we would just go in and out of each other's tracks. And you'd be like, nope, you got to hit it on this beat. And back then, you were using records. We didn't even have digital.
I was going to say, no, you were like counting out the BPMs at that point?
It was a little jazz, an improvisation, and a little bit of like counting. It was, you had to, you know, because the records weren't, you know, they're not digitized. You're playing with live instrumentation. So it's about phrasing, you know, like how do you know where to come in, when to come in. It was much more technical, you know, back then. And it was not easy. Like the guys who I was just mentioning, one didn't make the cut because he just couldn't do it. You know, it was like some people just could not do that. Like they just didn't have the chops. Lady D.
That's true. I would say that I was mentored primarily by guys, right? So who initially taught me how to DJ, inviting me into the, you know, letting me come into the booth. I would ask to come into the booth, but them being gracious and generous enough to say, yeah, come, you know, hang out. And so just being observant, being like, oh, that's how they do that. And so picking up all the things all along the way, it's been really great.
And now, of course, technique and being a great DJ is For a lot of DJs, that's the only thing they have to worry about. But I feel like for women, we have to worry about socially, like navigating politics socially, being a female DJ. So for anyone listening that maybe is an aspiring female DJ, up and coming, or still in the bedroom, right, in the bedroom stages, still trying to work out those shoes in the dryer, what would be your advice? Because it is very difficult. This is a lot of workplaces are male dominated, but this is extremely male dominated, like owners, promoters, right? Like even DJ agency people you're dealing with, almost everyone is male, you know? So what would be your guys's advice?
My advice, and I don't know how practical this is, but I can tell you how I became a better DJ. And, you know, it was less about being on a stage and being known. It's just being good. You know, I just wanted to feel good that I knew that I was doing and I knew that I was performing well. And for me, that meant a residency. That meant having a space that was my own where, you know, maybe I would have a guest here or there, but that I had the night and I was able to tell the story the way that I wanted to tell it. And that helped me hone my style, you know, the craft. It was really important. It helped me to understand music and helped me understand people. So my advice is always like, you know, play for yourself. Not in the bedroom forever, because you do have to be exposed, but to feel confident. And one way to do that is to own a night, you know, and you're not always going to get paid. You know, some of those residencies, I might have made $50 at the end of the night every week, you know, and at some points it's a hustle. You have to just be ready for it. It may take 3 or 4 of those residencies in a couple of years for you to feel that level of confidence. For some people, it's less time, but that's me. It's a little old school advice, but it worked for me. I think it might work for others.
I would say something that's really important. I mean, find your girls, right? Like, and it's different to say, like, I'm going to go out and I need to find people and people need to teach me and kind of like demand that of people. It's another thing to be going to gigs because you are wanting to become a better DJ, wanting to get to know the scene, wanting to connect with people, And I think if you're earnest and you're there for the right reasons and you're actually ready to listen and you have questions, not just, hey, can you help me? Okay, what do you need help with, right? Like, that's an important thing when you're asking for something. But, and I think eventually you start to build trust with these folks, and they, only time we learn things is by communicating with each other, right? Like, that bouncer didn't make me feel safe, or this is actually how much I'm getting paid. How much are you getting paid for this gig, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when you can break some of those walls down and you can authentically ask those questions, you start to find people that make you feel safe. I think that's been huge for me. And also, like, building your intuition and your gut when you start to feel unsafe, even if someone's like, whatever it might be, the more that I've tried to listen to what my body's telling me, whether it comes to song selection, should I play this gig? Is this where I'm supposed to be? She doesn't lead me astray too often. And I think when we don't listen to ourselves, we like, it's like a muscle. We start to kind of lose that. So that's my bit of advice.
Well, I think you do have to find your community. You have to find the people who are going to, you know, push you, who are going to support you. So all of those things, I think, work in tandem. Like, people who are going to say, like, while you're practicing, you know, like, that didn't sound good. And, and make
Lady
you
D
work harder
for,
it.
She'd be like, girl, y'all need to practice.
She doesn't even need to say it. She's just a look. It's just a look.
It's from being a mom. And so people who will let you know, like, they're not going to let you go out there and be bad or make mistakes in front of people. Make mistakes at home. Make as many mistakes at home as you can. That's not to say you're going to be perfect when you go out in front of people. But to Lori's point, that building that confidence in yourself, it takes so much practice. Practice, practice, practice makes perfect. And so, yeah, if you can have a space, you know, whether that's a residency or something that you just create for yourself, like, mm-hmm. every day at this time I'm going to practice.
Yes.
I have friends that have that much discipline, and, you know, they come home from work and then they practice for 1 to 2 hours every day. And to have that sort of dedication is where it's at. If you want to, you know, you have to ask yourself, am I doing it for me or am I doing it for them? And if you're doing it for them, then there's a certain degree of expectations that you're going to have to meet. If you're doing it for yourself, you only have yourself to disappoint. If you're doing it for everybody else, you have to think about the wider audience and trying your best not to disappoint them.
That was Nudia Hernandez talking to DJ Lady D, Lori Branch, and VD Girl from the Good Girls DJ Collective. Thank you so much, Nudia.
Thank you. See you next Friday.
You can hear more interviews like this one on our sister station, Vocalo. You can go to vocalo.org or listen on the radio at 91.1 FM. Nudia in the Afternoon is live every weekday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And this whole week, we have been celebrating the 40th anniversary of house music, a genre I'm so proud to say was born and bred here in Chi-Town. And DJ Lady D, Chip E, and several other house DJs are going to be performing on the South Stage at Wicker Park Fest this Sunday. WBEZ is sponsoring and curating the stage. You can get more info at wbez.org/events. And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Ethan Schwab was our engineer for this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. And a special shout out to Adora Namigade, Lisa Labiz, Noah Jennings, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon news episodes. We also get help from Cassie Walker-Burke, Sophie Hernandez-Simeonidis, and Dave Miska. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. Maybe I'll see you on Sunday at Wicker Park Fest. Either way, have a good weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Yay! Ethan, I love you.